that.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless y'all.
How y'all doing today?
Y'all excited to be here?
Amen. Hey, yeah. The ones that are here, the ones that are watching from home, you'll be happy to know this is the last week of our Bread of Life series. The title today is going to be this: Walking to the Bread of Life. Walking to the Bread of Life.
I'm glad
that we have something that will sustain us throughout eternity. I'm glad that we have got a God that loves us enough to give us a way out of death, hell, and damnation. I'm glad that we got a God that loves us enough that if we just believe in His Son Jesus, we can have new life. Amen. We have new life. How about y'all? Y'all excited? Hey, your main scripture today is going to come from, we'll get into it in a minute, but I'm going to go ahead and give it to you here up front. It's going to come from the book of Mark, chapter 7. Mark 7, we'll get there here in a little bit. 7, 1 through 8, and also Mark 7, 14 through 15, and Mark 7, 21 through 23. We'll get there in that scripture here in a little bit. Amen. But that's where we're going to be looking from today. But your first scripture is going to come from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17 through 27. James 1, 17 through 27, NIV version, says it this way: Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that He created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like somebody that looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forget what he looks like. How many of y'all ever done that? Amen. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on your tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I ask right now, Lord, that you get Ronnie out of the way, Lord, and allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord. Lord, may it be your word spoken and not mine, Jesus. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the blessing and the message that you have for us today, Lord. Lord, may we glean something new, Lord, out of your true bread of life. Lord, may we get a fire burning inside of us like never before, Lord. Lord, that we would want to share your love like you tell us to, Lord. Lord, that we want to share the bread of life that you've given each one of us that has accepted you so far, Jesus. And Lord, I ask you just to be with us through the rest of the message. In your name I pray. Amen. The book of James itself is often described as the Proverbs of the New Testament because of its practical wisdom for Christian livings. In today's passage, James offers us true insight into the nature of true faith and how it manifests in the life of a believer. The focus is not just on what we believe, but on how we live out that belief in our everyday actions. We'll explore three key themes from this passage: the goodness of God, the call to listen and obey, and the mark of true religion. We definitely see the goodness of God, don't we? In verse 17 through 18. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. He chose it to give us birth through the word of faith, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that He created. James begins by reminding each one of us of the goodness and consistency of God. Every good and perfect gift originates from Him, don't it? He does not change or fluctuate like shifting shadows. The greatest gift He has ever given us is a spiritual rebirth through the word of truth and the making of a kind of first fruit, us a kind of first fruit. I'll get that word out. A foretaste of God's redemptive work in the world. We got to understanding God's unchanging goodness sets a foundation for our response to Him. Because He is consistently good, isn't He? We can truly trust Him in every season of our lives. This truth motivates us to seek to live in a way that honors God, knowing that everything that we have, our time, our talents, our resources, our relationships, is truly a gift that God has given us. Consider the sun. It rises every day, don't it? It provides warmth. It provides light. Though the clouds may obscure it, the sun is still there, isn't it? It's still there. It's consistent. It's unwavering. Similarly, God's goodness is constant as well. Even when life's circumstances seem dark to us, His gifts are always present, shining upon each one of us, whether or not we can see them clearly in the moment that we're living. We've got to be willing to do, don't we? In verse 19 and 25, James emphasizes, I get that word out, the importance of listening and being slow to speak and slow to anger. In a world full of noise that we're living in right now and quick opinions, this instruction challenges each one of us to be reflective and discerning instead of quick to respond in anger. Beyond that, James urges us to merely listen to the word. Or not just to merely, let me restrict that. James urges us not to merely listen to the word, I get that right, but to do it in action, right? Hearing without doing leads to self-deception. The one who puts God's word into practice is the one who is blessed in all that we do. How often do we hear God's word come to us, but we fail to act on it? I know I do it daily still. Amen. James calls us each to be doers, not just hearers. True faith is active. True faith is obedient, isn't it? This means that forgiving when it's difficult, serving others when it's inconvenient, and standing up for what's right when it's unpopular. Imagine looking into a mirror and seeing a smudge on your face. Would you walk away from it without cleaning it off? Or would you just leave the mud hanging there? Of course not, would we? We would clean our face. But many of us do this spiritually, don't we? We hear the Word of God. We recognize it. And recognize areas in our lives that we can apply it to that need change. Yet we walk away unchanged, don't we? Let us be like the one who responded to the reflection in the mirror, allowing the Word of God to transform each one of us. In verse 26 and 27, James defines what true religion looks like in God's eyes. Controlling our speech, caring for the vulnerable, and remaining unstained by the world. Words matter, don't they? How we speak reveals what our true hearts are. Amen. Likewise, genuine faith is shown in how we care for those who are in need and how we resist the corrupting influence of the world that Satan throws at us each and every day. We often focus on our outward religious activities, don't we? But James shifts our attention to the inward transformation that expresses itself outwardly. Controlling our tongues means watching not what we say, but how we say it. Amen? How we say it. Caring for the vulnerable, such as orphans, widows, is a call to show compassion to those in need. Remaining unstained by the world requires living with integrity, don't it? And resisting moral compromise in our lives. Think of the tree that bears fruit. The health of the tree isn't determined by how good it is or how it looks on the outside, is it? But the health of the tree is truly determined by its roots. If the roots are strong and nourished, the tree itself will bear fruit. In the same way, our faith must be deeply rooted in God, producing good fruit. Our actions, our words, and our care for others are fruits that it will produce good. James calls us to a living faith, one's rooted in God's goodness, responsive to His words, and expressed through our actions. True faith is not just about what we believe, is it? It's about how we live as well. God desires a faith that listens, a faith that acts, and a faith that cares. A faith that transforms each one of our lives and the lives of those around us. Now for the scripture from the book of Mark. Mark 7, 1 through 8, NIV version says this. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of the disciples eating food with hands that were defiled. That is unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the command of God and are holding on to human traditions." Verse 14, 15 says, "Again Jesus called the crowd to him and said, 'Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of the person that defiles them.'" In chapter 7, verse 21, 23 says, "For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, grace, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. I ask, are you defiled today? Where are your thoughts and things coming from? Are they coming from a godly heart or the worldly heart? Amen. This passage from Mark that we just read invites us into a confrontation between Jesus and the religious people of his time. This encounter illustrates a powerful conflict between human traditions and God's commands. And it calls each one of us to examine the condition of our hearts and the authenticity of our worship. Jesus' teaching in this passage resonates through the ages, don't it? Challenging superficial religion and urging us to focus on the transformation of what God does and desires inside of each one of us. Let's first take a moment to understand the broader context of this passage within the Gospel of Mark. By the 7th chapter, Jesus' public ministry is well underway, isn't it? He has performed many miracles. He's healed the sick and cast out demons. His fame is growing, and so is the opposition from the religious elite, specifically the Pharisees and the scribes. These leaders, who are guardians of the Jewish law and the traditions, often find themselves at odds with Jesus' radical teachings, which frequently subvert their understanding of religious observance. In verse 1 and 2 in that chapter 7, the scene begins with the Pharisees and some scribes gathered around Jesus. Their first observation is not of Jesus' teaching or miracle, is it? But of his disciples eating food with unclean hands. The concept of unclean hands here does not refer to hygiene, but to a ceremonial purity, a crucial concern of the Pharisees. According to their traditions, eating without ritually washing your hands defiled a person. These traditions, known as the tradition of elders, were oral laws that had been passed down generation by generation, alongside of the written Mosaic law. These traditions were meant to protect and elaborate on God's commandments. But over time, they have become almost as authoritative as the scriptures themselves. This ritual washing was not commanded in the law of Moses, yet the Pharisees and the scribes treated it as an essential religious practice. And this sets the stage for the conflict that follows. They approach Jesus questioning why his disciples do not follow the tradition of the elders, implying that their disregard for these rituals reveals a lack of holiness. In verses 3 and 4, Mark is writing primarily to a Gentile audience, unfamiliar with Jewish traditions, provides an exemplary note. He details the elaborate purification rituals that the Pharisees and the Jews followed, not only for washing your hands, but also for the cleaning of cups, pitchers, and other utensils. These practices were designed to maintain ceremonial purity, but they were also symbolic of a deeper concern, which was maintaining the purity of the heart and life. However, the focus on external rituals had become disconnected from the internal reality that they were meant to represent. The Pharisees emphasized on outward cleanliness and overshadowed the inner condition of the heart. This focus itself was on external appearances is a key issue that Jesus will confront in his response. In his response in verse 5 and 6. When the Pharisees and scribes challenged Jesus, he responds quickly by quoting Isaiah 29:13, a prophetic rebuke against superficial worship. And Jesus says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Jesus himself uses that passage from Isaiah to expose the heart of the matter. The Pharisees were guilty of honoring God outwardly, while their hearts inside were far from him. Their worship had become empty and meaningless because it was focused on human traditions rather than a true devotion to God. In verse 7 through 8, Jesus continues by declaring what the Pharisees leave. Let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the human traditions. This is a serious accusation, isn't it? The Pharisees, who prided themselves on the devotion to God's law, were guilty of prioritizing their tradition over that very actual commandment from God. When Jesus reveals here, or what Jesus reveals here, is a fundamental misalignment in the Pharisees' spirituality. Instead of seeking to obey God's will, they have become preoccupied with external practices and appearances. Their faith had become formalistic, focused more on maintaining religious customs than on nurturing a relationship with God. In this way, their tradition, rather than leading them to holiness, became an obstacle toward worship and true worship. After that confrontation with the Pharisees, Jesus turns to the crowd and delivers a crucial teaching. He calls out, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this." This is a signal that what he was about to say is of great importance. Jesus is addressing not just the Pharisees, amen, but the entire audience that was there. He wants everybody to grasp the significance of this passage. And then he delivers a shocking statement. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of the person that defiles them. This teaching directly contradicts what the Pharisees' belief was, that external purity laws, like food laws and ritual washings, determine the person's holiness. Jesus is shifting the focus from external to internal conditions of the heart. He's saying that what truly defiles a person is not what they eat or not what they touch, amen, but what comes out of our hearts. Things like evil thoughts, things like evil actions, evil attitudes, amen. That's a radical shift, isn't it? An understanding for his listeners, especially for the Jews who've been raised to believe the deity and ritual laws were a key to maintaining their purity before God. Jesus is introducing a new paradigm for him. The heart, not external observance, is truly a true measure of our holiness. And each one of us will have evils in our heart, won't we? Hey, even after we get saved, we will still have evils in our hearts from time to time. In these verses, Jesus elaborates on what defiles a person. He lists a series of sins that emerge from the heart, don't he? For he said, "For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Whew, that's a pretty big list, ain't it? Pretty good size. This list encompasses both actions and the attitudes of Adonai. Jesus makes it clear that a heart, or the heart, is the source of all evil. Not external circumstances, right? But the heart itself is the seat of human desires and inclinations. It is from here that sin originates. It's from our heart that sin originates. The list of sins is comprehensive, isn't it? Covering not only overt actions like murder and theft, but also attitudes like greed, envy, and arrogance. Jesus' teaching here goes beyond the superficial understanding of sin as merely breaking a rule, don't it? He's exposing the deeper reality of human depravity. That sin itself begins in the heart, in our thoughts, our desires, and our intentions. This is why external rituals cannot make a person clean. The true battle for holiness takes place from within each one of us. In verse 23, Jesus concludes by saying, all the evils come from inside and defile a person. How many evils? All the evils. This final statement truly reinforces the central theme of his teaching. True defilement is an internal matter. Sin comes from within, not from external sources like unclean hands or impure food, does it? The passage from Mark today is as relevant today as it was at the time of Jesus. While the specific traditions and practices may have changed, the human tendency to prioritize external religious observances over internal transformation remains a constant challenge, don't it? We have a danger of getting empty religion. Like the Pharisees, we can easily fall into the trap of focusing on external appearances, like attending churches, performing rituals, and following traditions, while not neglecting the inner works of each one of our hearts. It is possible to honor God with our lips, while our hearts are far from Him. This passage calls us to examine our own hearts and our own lives and ask, are we more concerned about our religious appearances than with the condition of each one of our hearts? Do we prioritize human traditions over God's commandments? Are we guilty of following the rules and the rituals while neglecting the deeper call to love God and our neighbors? Jesus' teaching emphasizes the priority of the heart in true worship. True holiness is not about external practices, is it? It is about the transformation of each one of our hearts. The heart is the source of our thoughts, our desires, our actions. And it is here that the battle for holiness is fought. To focus on the inner work of the Spirit, in our lives. Are we allowing God to transform our hearts? Are we allowing God to transform our minds? Or are we merely going through the motions of religion? We see so many people doing that, don't we? Are we cultivating a relationship with God that changes us from inside out? Or are we content with the outward conformity to religious expectations? And finally, Jesus teaches us where the true source of defilement comes from. He reminds us that it's not external, is it? But it's internal to each one of us. The sin that defiles each one of us comes from within. Our thoughts, our desires, attitudes. This calls for a deep level of self-examination for each one of us, and repentance if we cross the line. We must acknowledge that we're not defiled by external circumstances or by the actions of others that we try to blame it on often. But we're truly by the pure evil that's inside of each one of our hearts. That's a humbling realization, isn't it? But it also points us to the need for God's grace and transforming power of the Holy Spirit that He gives us. In the scripture from Mark, Jesus confronts the superficiality of external religions and calls us to a deeper understanding of holiness and worship. The Pharisees and scribes have become so preoccupied with human traditions and outward observances, but Jesus redirects our attention to the conditions of our hearts. He challenges us to recognize that true defilement comes from within, from the evil thoughts, the desires, and actions that spring up in each one of our hearts. As followers of Christ, we're called to move beyond the external trappings of religion and pursue a deeper, more authentic relationship with our God. This involves allowing God to transform each one of our hearts and minds so that our lives reflect His perfect love, His grace, and His holiness. And in doing so, we honor God, not just with our lips, amen, but with our entire beings, offering Him the true worship that He so desires. Let's pray that we might heed Jesus' call, examining our hearts and allowing the Holy Spirit to purify us and renew us from within. Let us also seek to prioritize God's commandments over human traditions, embracing a faith that is not based upon outward rituals, but it's based upon an inward transformation that leads to true holiness and a life of love. As we leave here today, let's commit to be doers of the word. Let's reflect on God's goodness in our actions. Let us watch our words carefully. Let us seek out those in need of compassion. In doing so, we honor the one who has given us every good and perfect gift in our lives. As we come for the final song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for all You do for us, Lord. Lord, I thank You for Your blessing and Your message today, Lord. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to learn more about Your bread of life, Lord. Lord, that bread also allows us to get out of our sin habits, Lord. Lord, that we would want to get closer to You, Lord. Lord, not that we would want to live with an outward religion, Lord, but we would want to have true heart change on the inside, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your unchanging goodness and for the gift of salvation through Your word. Help us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. May we be doers of Your word, showing our faith through our actions, through our words, and our care for others. Empower us by Your Holy Spirit to live out true religion that pleases You in Your name, Jesus. Father, we thank You for the truth of Your word and the challenge that it presents to us. Help us move beyond our outward appearance and traditions to the faith that is deeply rooted in our hearts. Purify us from within, and may our worship be genuine and pleasing to You. Transform our thoughts, our desires, and our actions so that we might reflect Your love and holiness in all that we do, Jesus. In Your name I pray. And everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen.